Well, let's listen to these words of Jeremiah, found in the 11th chapter, verses 18, 19, and 20. Because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it. For at that time, he showed me what they were doing. I'd been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me, saying, "Let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But you, Lord Almighty, who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause." To be able to grab a hold of this, you need to know a little biblical history. And I know for some of you, that's not your most exciting topic, is studying history. But trust me, if you can grab a hold of the history around this passage, it means so much more. The people had done wrong. The nation of Israel had not been living by God's commands. And therefore, God allowed the Babylonians to come in and carry most of them off to exile in Babylon, about 1,000 miles away. In Babylon with them is two prophets, Ezekiel and Isaiah. Jeremiah is still back in Jerusalem, and he is the prophet for those people who are still there. There's not a great many of them. There's not a whole lot of them. But he is there to bring God's word to the people in Jerusalem. God has said the exile will be 70 years. So the people that have gone off through Isaiah and through Ezekiel, they are told, build houses, establish marketplaces, marry, continue your families, you're going to be here for a few generations before I allow you to come back. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple is no more. It has been taken down. All of the gold implements and all of the wonderful things in the temple have been carried off to Babylon. They're gone. If you were here on Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about this because we talked of Psalm 137, which has that setting in Jerusalem. But today the setting in Babylon. Today our setting is in Jerusalem. Jeremiah, the prophet in Jerusalem during the exile, learns about those against him. Sometimes I wonder if I could go back and be a prophet. Because it doesn't seem like they got treated fairly ever. Well, matter of fact, the only ones that got treated fairly were the ones that told the king what the king wanted to hear. And they got treated fairly. But the ones who, remember, the role of a prophet is not just hearing about prophecy for the end times. It's not just about hearing about prophecy for Jesus coming, about the Messiah. It's not just about that. A prophet is one who knows God closely and well, who listens for what God is saying, and brings that word to the people. Oftentimes, more often than speaking about end times or the coming of the Messiah, often the prophet was speaking a word of God for the day that they lived in. Not a far-off future day. The day that they lived in. Jeremiah is bringing them a word for how they are living in the midst of trouble and problems and what they need to do to straighten it out. Guess what? The people don't want to hear what Jeremiah has to say. As it is with most of us, when someone comes to us and informs us that we're not doing right, what happens? We build defensive walls and we say, that's not happening. That's not me. That's not who I am. You don't understand. I did those things because of this and because of that, and I had to do it that way because such and such forced me to do it that way. No, they didn't. Jeremiah is speaking to them and telling them, you are not living by God's commands. Now, if you look through the whole story of Jeremiah, they actually at one point in time threw him in a well. And their intent was to leave him there till he died. But somebody took him out. Somebody helped him out of the well. They have come after him a number of times. And in this time, they are plotting to get rid of him, because they don't want to hear God's word. They are plotting to get rid of him. They're trying to find a way to do away with him. They're trying to find a way that he exists no more, because we don't want you to tell us what God has to say. We don't want to hear it. We're sick of it. Stop telling us we need to get things right. Instead of getting things right, they prefer to get rid of Jeremiah. Not a pleasant life, don't you think, for Jeremiah? And somehow, some way, God has let Jeremiah know that this is what people want to do. We don't know. It doesn't tell us how Jeremiah knew. But somehow God has allowed Jeremiah to understand what people are trying to do to him. That they are after him. That they're coming to get him, to do away with him, so that he does not exist anymore, so that they can't hear what God's trying to tell them, because they don't want to hear it. Guess what? Today the same thing happens. There are some pastors in some places that are told by the church, these are the only messages we want to hear. Don't tell us we're doing wrong, because we don't want to hear it. And if you do, we're going to fire you and we'll get another pastor that'll do what we say. That happens. That happens today. They discredit what pastors say sometimes, and they say, no, that's not right. And they continue to let the pastor know, we don't want to hear what God has to say. And they do everything they can to drive the pastor away from the church. My role as a pastor is to bring to you what God's trying to explain to you. When I sit down and prepare and look at these words that I'm going to preach on, it's, God, why do you want me to look at this scripture? Why are you asking me to use this scripture? What is it that the congregation as a whole needs to hear? You guys have heard it. Some of you have said it. Pastor, you stepped on my toes today. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If there is never a time that you hear God's word and you never feel like your toes were stepped on, then I wonder, are you really listening? Because sometimes God wants to step on our toes, as you would say. Sometimes God wants us to understand something we need to understand. And sometimes it's not pleasant how we find out about it. And as far as the people were concerned, what Jeremiah was telling them was not pleasant. So we'll just get rid of you. We'll be done with you, and we don't have to listen to this anymore. Jeremiah was probably not the only prophet that was there amongst them. There were probably other prophets that were telling them what they wanted to hear. Don't worry about this. The Babylonians are going to be wiped out and everybody's going to be brought home and the city's going to be rebuilt next week. I'm sure there were prophets that were doing that. And Jeremiah's walking around going, oh, by the way, for 70 years, this is how you're going to live. That meant that some of the people were going to die before it got better. Not a very popular message. Not one at all that was popular. Now let's talk about us, though. Most people in a situation like this, in Jeremiah's situation, where he found out that people were trying to kill him, most people would fight against those seeking to destroy them. They're going to fight against those folks. They're going to cause a battle. They're going to talk about how this is not true or that is not true. They're going to fight against the people that are trying to take them out. Self-preservation. That's what part of it is. Self-preservation. Jeremiah could have said, you know what? I am not going to accept this. I'm going to find out exactly who the people are who are trying to take me out, and I'm going to take them out first and quiet the whole situation down by taking them out. And I would say there's a part of all of us, it's human nature. It's my human nature, of course, that the very first thing I want to do, that when someone discredits me, someone says something wrong about me, I want to go correct it, and I want to fight against it. And I want to say, what you're saying, what you're spreading, what you're telling, what you think you see is wrong. I want you to look at what Jeremiah did, though. Because did Jeremiah do that? Jeremiah allows God to handle the situation and fully commits to God. Let me read it for you again, because this is his prayer. Because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it. For at that time, he showed me what they were doing. I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me, saying, now, this begins a prayer that he's praying to God. Let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. That's what people are saying about him. What does Jeremiah say about this as he speaks with God? But you, Lord Almighty, who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have committed my cause. He comes to God and he says, God, I am not going to take any action against them. I'm going to let you do that. I'm not going to try to control the situation. I'm not going to approach them and talk to them about it. God, I'm going to let you take care of it. And he says even further, I commit myself fully to you. A completely different way than human nature, isn't it? Human nature says, I'm going to go fight against this situation. I'm going to tear them down before they can tear me down. And Jeremiah says, Lord, you allowed me to know that they are going to try to kill me. I'm just going to let you take care of it. Because you are a righteous judge. And I'm going to commit myself fully to let you take care of it. That's probably the bigger step, don't you think? It might be easy to pray and say, God, I'm going to let you take care of it. Because sometimes those are just words that we speak. Isn't it? God, I'm going to let you take care of it. I have seen throughout my ministry a lot of people that will tell God, God, I want you to take care of this. God, I want you to handle this. God, I want you to, and they say amen, and they go right about helping God take care of it. God, I'm going to give it to you fully, completely, totally, and I'm not going to mess with it anymore. However, God, I'm not so sure you can take care of all of it. This is a kind of a big job. So I'm going to take some of it back as I leave now, and I'm going to take on it. I'm going to help you fix this. And I'm going to go talk to those people, and I'm going to tell them how wrong they are. And I'm going to let everybody else know how wrong they are. But by the way, God, I'm letting you take care of it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? You think the problem is so big that you have to help God handle it. That means you think your God's pretty small and not capable and not able to fix a situation that you don't need to get involved in. You have decided that now you have to control it. That's not what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah said, God, I give it to you. I like what he says because he says, you judge righteously. How many of us think we judge righteously, but always have a bias? I want it fixed this way because this is the way I want it. You know, I think sometimes my prayers don't get answered because I tell God how to fix something. I don't just say, God, I give it to you to fix. I tell God how I want it fixed. And God says, well, that was awful big of you to think that it should be fixed that way. Do you not know that there's a better way that this could be fixed? And God fixes it in a different way, and I get a little upset because God doesn't do what I asked God to do. Or can I say it a different way? God doesn't do what I told God to do. Vengeance is not ours. Revenge is not ours. Scripture says in more than one place, that belongs to God. And there are some things that only God can fix. We might think that we can, right? You know how to fix every situation that come up in your life, didn't you? How many times did you fix it and it didn't work out real well? And you had to find another way to fix it. Jeremiah says, I am not going to fight against these people. I'm not going to involve my time and my energy in fighting against them. God, I'm going to let you do it. Because you are a righteous judge. And you know how to handle this better than I ever will. So therefore, I fully commit to you, Lord. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Anybody think a phrase that's important in the Lord's Prayer that goes along with this? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will be done. Not mine. God's will. And I have to be open enough and humble enough to realize that sometimes God handles things differently than I do. Because God knows a better way to handle it. And I have to realize sometimes it's better for me to back up. Not retreat, not run away. Jeremiah didn't stop preaching. Jeremiah didn't stop sharing God's word with the people. He was still, if you read through the book of Jeremiah, quite confrontational. But he was speaking for God, not for himself. He was telling the folks, this is what God wants you to hear. This is what God wants you to understand. And the people were like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to understand it. How can we kill you? And Jeremiah says, God, I'm going to let you take care of this one. I got other things to do. Think about it that way. Jeremiah says, I got other things to do. If I spend all my time trying to figure out how to fight against a situation like this, do I have time to listen to what God has to say and speak God's words? I'm using all my energy up on trying to figure out how to fight against the situation. I don't know about you, but I have a limited amount of energy. In any one week, I have a limited amount of energy. It does not matter how much coffee I drink. I have a limited amount of energy. And if I use all my energy to fight against the people that are trying to tear me down, I will never spend any time bringing a word to you that God wants you to hear. Because it takes time and energy to hear what God's saying. Amen? You can't just focus on that one thing, revenge. Let God do that. Let God handle that in a just way, in a right way. Because I can tell you the times that I have taken it on to handle it, quite often I mess things up worse than they were to begin with. And I don't treat people like people. And I cause more animosity than I do anything else. That's why I have told you with the situations happening around the world, violence is not the answer to solving a situation. And every time I open my newspaper and look at another reported case of violence somewhere in the world, I'm like, when will people get it? That does not solve situations. That causes more people to come after more people and try to figure out how to come back at them. I know that peace is hard. I know that it's difficult to sit down and compromise because we don't want to compromise. I want it my way, don't we? Even in the littlest of problems, I want it my way. Are you willing to let God have God's way as we pray? God's will be done, not mine. I told you that Jesus had an unanswered prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times he prayed and said, God, take this cross from me. I do not want to go to the cross and die. 3 times. But do you know what phrase Jesus followed up with? Not my will, but yours, God, be done. Not my will, but yours, God, be done. All 3 times. He prayed that prayer 3 times, and all 3 times he finished it off by saying, your will, not mine. He very clearly told God what his will was. I do not want to do this. Very clearly. But he said, God, I'm committing myself fully to your will. Fully and completely to your will. Not an easy thing to do. So very difficult because our internal self wants to fix the situation. Do you know any people that they have to fix every situation? I feel sorry for them. Because they're always trying to figure out how to fix the situation versus enjoy living where they are. They're constantly trying to figure out, how do I fix it? What a burden. And Jeremiah says, I'm going to give you that burden, God, because I know you're big enough to take care of it. I'm going to give it to you. You see, when the same happens for us, we must come to God in prayer and commit to God's will. When the same thing happens for us, we must come to prayer. That's what Jeremiah did. God, you have allowed me to find out they want to get rid of me. Part of me wants to say, why'd you let him figure that out? He probably was going along life just fine without hearing about other people wanting to kill him. But God, you've allowed me. We just need to come to God. God, I have found out about this horrible situation and how people are standing against me, and I'm just going to give it over to you. And I'm going to walk away. And I'm not going to carry any more baggage with me. I'm not taking part of the problem back, God, after I ask you to do it. I'm committing myself fully to living your will. And I know that your will is for me to get to know you better. I know that your will is to love people. I know that your will is to spend some time in the scriptures so that I can understand better. I know that your will is to bring these things to you in prayer and let go of them. And go out and do what you asked me to do. That's freeing, isn't it? Didn't Jesus say, you who are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest? Matthew chapter 11, I believe verse 30. Come to me and I will give you rest. If I'm constantly trying to figure out how to fix every situation, especially the situations where people are trying to come against me, when will I ever find rest? I'm not going to. You see, we need to come to God and say, God, I give it to you. I'm going to lay it right here at the altar, and I'm going to walk away with my hands like this. And I'm going to leave it there, and I'm not coming back to get it. Because, God, I asked you to take care of it. And I'm just going to commit myself to how you want to take care of this. That's what Jeremiah did in this situation. I know it's against almost every stitch of human nature, especially for mothers. Because mothers want to fix everything, right? You want to fix everything for your kids. Everything. How successful have you been with that? Those of you that have kids? Or shall I even ask this question? How successful have you been getting them to understand that you want to fix it for them the right way? And the women are going to say that the guys don't care and don't pay attention. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a guy's secret if you don't know it. Guys pretend to be tough. And sometimes it bothers them just as much inside. But they're not going to let you know. How do I know that? Because I've had guys come to me and just break down because they can't fix something. Because there's something in guys that also want to fix something. Let Deanne come home and tell me what went off on at work. And about three sentences in, I'm going to interrupt her and tell her how to fix it. And then she's going to look at me and say, if you'll just be quiet a minute, I'll tell you it was already fixed. You don't have to fix it. I was just wanted to tell you what happened today. Guys aren't any different than mothers. They just pretend like they are. Folks, when are you going to stop fixing things and letting God fix them? If we believe in such a big God, why are you trying to fix it on your own? Why not let God fix it? And why not just commit yourself to God's will? Because God has your best interest in mind. Always. Always. And God knows how to fix things in the best possible way. Why not let God do that? Why not let God do that if God only has your best interest in mind? So, what do you need to let go of and allow God to handle? I'm willing to be bold enough to say that there's every person in this room has something we need to let go of and let God handle it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of Jeremiah. Thank you that he's willing to write down this prayer, that we are able to see how much he just wants to let go of things and enjoy the living of life. He recognizes that there's some things that he can do nothing about, and he's just willing to let go of it. And Lord, sometimes we need to realize the same thing. Because you're a just God. You're a powerful God. You're a God that can see things that we will never see. You're a God that knows how to fix things better than we could ever do ourselves. So Lord, help us come this morning and lay these things down at the altar. And then walk away with open hands, allowing you to fix it, allowing you the time and space to take care of it. Because, Lord, when we pick it up and carry it back off after praying about it, I can only imagine you look at us and go, now what am I supposed to do? You still got a hold of it. Whatever it is we need to lay down at the altar today, Lord, help us to do that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.